Translation. O greatly fortunate and learned Brahmana, whether Narayana is partial or impartial has become a subject of great doubt. Kindly dispel my doubt with positive evidence that Narayana is always neutral and equal to everyone. Purport. Since Lord Narayana is absolute, his transcendental qualities are described as one. Thus his punishments and his offerings of favor are both of the same value. Essentially, his inimical actions are not displays of enmity toward his so-called enemies, but in the material field, one thinks that Krishna is favorable to devotees and unfavorable to non-devotees. When Krishna finally instructs in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadamam Paritaja, Mangikam Sharanam Braja, this is meant not only for Arjuna, but for every living entity within this universe. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Mira Vishesha Shunyavari Paskatyari Shatarine Naya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Divasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. O greatly fortunate and learned Brahmana, whether Narayana is partial or impartial has become a subject of great doubt. Kindly dispel my doubt with positive evidence that Narayana is always neutral and equal to everyone. So, in this part of the Bhagavata, a very important question is addressed, and that is a question about the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It seems he is angry towards the demons and favors his devotees. This is a question. Now, an example will appear later, which totally dismantles this apparent impression which you could have. That's the example of Shishupal, who was very envious, but Krishna, nevertheless, was not angry at him. Shishupal was born as a little three-legged monster, and he had also two additional arms, you know, but not in the Vishnu way, you know, the beautiful way, but they were monstrous arms. Fehlgeburt, eine Fehlgeburt, wie man sie sich schrecklicher nicht mal im Frankensteins Kabinett vorstellen kann. So, the first thing he said is, I hate you, Krishna. It is very difficult. Those who are in child rearing know that it's very difficult to say Krishna. I don't believe Kunti can say Krishna already. Huh? Something like it. But first is Rama. Rama, very much. Mama is the most simple. It is here. But the Krishna, that's very difficult to say. So he defied all biological language developments by just going, Krishna, I hate you. That was the first thing you could hear from this mouth. Now there was a foretelling that the person upon which Shishupal, upon whose lap, I should say, Shishupal would lose his extra eye. Did I say he had an extra eye? He had an extra eye and four and two extra arms, not legs. That was, he had two legs. So that person upon whose lap this baby would get rid of his arms and eye, that would kill, that person would kill him. Now his mother wanted to find out. First of all, she wanted to have a beautiful baby like any mother, but then she wanted also to know who would be the cause of the death. So many kings came to the house of Shishupal's parents. When Krishna, however, on many kings, this child was placed on the laps of these kings. When Krishna came, then that little baby, the infant baby, immediately lost his two arms. They just fell off, crash, to the floor, and the eye disappeared. So it was clear Krishna would be the killer of Shishupal. The mother was so disturbed. She said, my dear Krishna, on this day I'm happy because he lost his arms and disturbed. Please don't kill my beautiful son. Krishna said, why? And she explained the blessings or the curse which was on Shishupal. So Krishna said, all right, because you asked me, I will wait with my killing of Shishupal until Shishupal has exactly said 100 offenses against me. When he pronounces his 101st offense, then I will have to kill him. So the mother thought, no problem, I mean, who can say 100 offenses? You know, I can think of maybe 5 bad words for a person. Do this, do das, or do gemeiner, or do but it's 100 is a little bit too much. So anyway, the time came when Shishupal, who grew into a very demoniac king, confronted the Lord. It was after the Rajasuja sacrifice, when everyone was totally satisfied and happy, when Shishupal began to attack Krishna. Was it after? No, it was in the beginning of the Rajasuja sacrifice. Everyone was excited and they were electing the president, and it became Krishna. Krishna got the most votes. Everyone was for Krishna as the president of the Rajasuja sacrifice. Only Shishupal was against it. He said, who? This Krishna? There's so many more qualified people. I can think of all the saints who have come here. Why Krishna? Sahadev, who's nothing like than a boy, has previously glorified Krishna by saying that he lifted a huge mountain on one finger, and that qualifies him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Sahadev doesn't know that this so-called mountain was eaten up by termites inside. seen in India, there are these termit bows, these termit residences, and they are all hollow, so it's easy to carry them. It looks like a big substance, but it's not. There's nothing inside. And they say Krishna has killed the witch Putana. But what's so great about killing a woman? Women have to be protected, not killed. So he said 100 such bad things about Krishna. Just very bad things. And then at the end, and Krishna just waited. And all the Bhima grew heavy. Bhishma wanted to draw his bow and kill him, but he said, no, not necessary. Don't kill him. Let us listen to him. So after the 100th offense, Krishna just called his Sudarshan Chakra, which appeared in the hall, and then just pointed at Shishupal, and the chakra did a surgical cut on the head. Shishupal fell down dead. And finally, then everyone saw how the soul came out of the body of Shishupal, hovered for a while in the sky, and then merged into the body of the Lord. He got liberation. He got that goal which many yogis aspire after prolonged austerities and many renunciations. So this is the example which is given in this first chapter of the seventh canto to actually show how the Lord's so-called enmity is actually a blessing in disguise to also the demons. He is not, he is never the enemy of anyone. This is especially important for us as devotees. See, there are two types of religious people: the surrendered and the unsurrendered. Unsurrendered people always find faults with the Lord for his different activities. For instance, in the second welfare, this is a point which Srila Prabhupada often has made, the German ladies stopped going into the churches. Why? Because they had an angry mood against God. They had prayed for him to protect their sons and bring them back from the battlefield. Gerade, da wieder traurig, mir die anzusehen. Du bist so müde, nicht? Oder abgelenkt einfach nur. Das ist noch trauriger. So they came in the church every so often, but the sons were nevertheless killed. So that's why they became so angry at God that they stopped going into the church. But you become angry with someone who was your friend, you ignore him, you don't come to him any longer. This is the unsurrendered mood of the religious person. Now a devotee sometimes also experiences how maybe diseases strike him or his some mental impression of sadness comes up in him. But the devotee does not condemn God for this. But he understands, my Lord, so-called good or so-called bad activities are always just to help me. With this action, my Lord is helping me to remember him and to lose my attachments to this material world. So that a surrendered devotee can see in everything Krishna and Krishna's activity, and he is very very happy for everything which Krishna does. This is the difference between the two types of religious people. Still, it is not always easy to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A very nice example has been given in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, but because I just feel that you are so not listening with full attention, I will interrupt my lecture here to wake you up. I'm known for this, you know. Let me ask you, what is the greatest obstacle for you in surrendering? Was macht das die Hingabe am schwierigsten? Or is it always easy, Jones?
No.
Bist du dir bewusst? The taste is not there. Der Magen, kann ja alles sein, nicht genügend Passatum gekriegt, oder meint. Pride and arrogance. Lust, really? Yes, lust. Impatience. So, all right, these are some obstacles against surrender. Personally, in my own observation or studies on this subject matter, I feel, at least in my case, the greatest obstacle to surrender is a sense of independence. Here, Dhruva Maharaj is saying, because of my state of complete foolishness and paucity of pious activities, paucity means amut, right? Although the Lord offered me his personal service, I wanted material fame, name, and prosperity. My case is just like that of the poor man who, when he satisfied a great emperor who wanted to give him anything he might ask, out of ignorance asked only a few broken grains of husked rice. We can get anything and everything from the Lord. The Lord is prepared to give us his blessing. If to the demons, like Shishupal, he gives already moksha, can you imagine what he gives to his two devotees? Can you imagine? Jiva Goswami says, after talking about the Shishupal incidents, which I have just narrated to you, it's simply not possible to imagine what Krishna wants to give to his devotees. Demons. I mean, Shishupal was a monster. You know, there was a movie, Frankenstein. I do not know if you have seen it. I have seen it when I was 12 years old, and I still cannot forget it. It was so impressive. The original Frankenstein movie. So, to a monster who's accustomed to eating meat and so on, drinking blood, and you know, Shishupal was a demon, black magic, everything. He was giving liberation. Can you imagine what he gives to a devotee? It's simply not possible. So, but do we ask the right thing for? for Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj says, I couldn't ask for the right thing. I was just, it was as if I was at the house of an emperor in Kalida. Whenever you ask me, you can have everything I ask for, a few broken grains of rice. And now the reason is that the conditioned soul somehow thinks surrender or service means a restriction of his freedom. And that when you hear of service, you think of a colonized Negro who has who works on a banana plantage in South North America and sings the blues. He's drunk and is totally miserable, and his only joy is to to make a few sad notes on the guitar and sing the blues. So the condition soul thinks when he thinks of service, then he loses his independence. But independence means really not the kind of thing which we have imbibed by our Western tradition. Our tradition is best expressed in a, now I'm getting totally lost in my previous songs, in a song goes like this: I am free, I can do what I want any old time. This is the song for the freedom lovers of the old generations like me. So, and then this so-called free person, you see him, walking like the camel filter man through the jungles of South Brazil to get a piece of a camel filter cigarette, you see him, fighting in an adventure journey in the Himalayas, like Reinhold Messner, the famous mountain climber, complete freedom to do anything one wants, and see him visiting the parties of the Western culture, etc. But is he really so free? The freedom Prabhupada offers us an explanation doesn't mean to just fight with the obstacles which are put before you by the illusory energy. The real independence of a living entity, who is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to remain always dependent on the Supreme Lord, just like a child who plays in complete independence, guided by his parents who watch over him. This is really the definition of independence and freedom. To be, to not just work from morning till evening, with arranging one's life, getting enough money to pay an apartment, devotees, they have apartments for their services. I'm not speaking of this. I'm speaking of, that ragged individualism which is pronounced in our Western culture. Freedom means just I surrender to you, my dear Lord, and the Lord is protecting and taking care of his surrendered soul. The real independence, Srila Prabhupada says, is to be reinstated in the service of the Lord. Everyone is trying in the material world to become completely independent simply by fighting against the obstacles offered by Maya. If you're not surrendered to Krishna, your life is not a fight. That it's not free. Don't think this fight is glorious. I was thinking about this when I met Reinhold Messner, this famous mountain climber. Who of you knows Reinhold Messner? There are these romantic pictures where he climbs the mountains. He is not shaved. He is a hero for many. And when I met him in the book fair, I asked him, "So, what's your next goal?" He looked at me. He said, "Well, now where I have climbed this something like Mount Everest, I think he climbed, and the Kilimanjaro, and some other high peaks. I'm looking for new challenges. What I will do is I will go through the desert for 40 days without drinking water or something like this, something crazy, you know, because no one ever did this before." And when he said it, it became very clear to me. He's under the control of his mind. He is not free. What is so glorious in doing this? A poor person needs to chant a lot and get some milas, some mercy. So, okay. Now I want to come to the end. I want to say, actually, I wanted to change the subject matter totally. This was on surrender the first time and on the Lord's impartiality. Now I want to raise a doubt of Jiva Goswami. I want to do this because several of you are going to Mayapur. I can imagine that you are on your way, Tamoha Krishna Prabhu? After 2 weeks. Okay. And I know others who will go to the Mayapur festival and join the Parikrama. I wanted to join also, but it's not possible due to health reasons. But I have yesterday night read in this book, Srinavadvip Mahatmya by Bhaktivinod Thakur. It is published in our movement. And it says anyone who reads this book makes a parikram around Navadvip. So this is very good. So those of you who stay here can maybe read or so on. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you have asked yourself, it says in the scripture that there is no difference between Mayapur and Vrindavan, but still I feel more attracted to one place over the other. Have you ever asked yourself why this is so? Have you ever confronted this question in your life? Yeah? Nö. Darüber denke ich nicht nach. Nein, noch nicht? Noch nicht so. I've always struggled with this question. Why do I feel more attracted to one holy dam than to the other? Is there something wrong with me? Should be the same. Now, here, an interesting discussion is taking place between Jiva Goswami and Nityananda. Jiva Goswami is guided by Lord Nityananda on a whole Navadvip parikrama. They go to all the 7 islands. Is it 7 or is it 9? 9 islands, I'm sorry. To all the 9 islands. And then, after the tour is completed, Lord Nityananda Prabhu affectionately asked Jiva Goswami, "So when will you go to Vrindavan?" And Jiva Goswami, feeling so attracted, so Jiva Goswami then says, the Lord's order is supreme. I must indeed go to Vrindavan, but I have a few questions to ask. O Lord, for the benefit of your servant, please answer. You say that Navadvip and Vrindavan are non-different. If that is so, why should one make an effort to go to Vrindavan at all? And then Nityananda Prabhu is very satisfied, and he says, this is a very deep subject matter. Listen very carefully. Materialists have no idea about what I will tell you now. And then he explains that Navadvip and Vrindavan are one in principle. However, Vrindavan is more difficult to attain, because in Vrindavan, all these five rasas, no, four rasas, I'm sorry, not neutrality, are manifested. That's the goal of the living entity, to attain our original rasa. Vishwadev has informed us that sometimes surrender is difficult because we have no taste in it. There's no ras, no ruchi in our life. Now, in Vrindavan, the original relationship of the living entity is manifested. We are all servants of Sri Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. And in this Vrindavan also, which is only an extension, this high platform is there. But, you know, we cannot say we have attained already the goal. So therefore, the same Dham has mercifully manifested in the form of Navadvip. There, the living entity, just upon going there, can obtain the nectar of Krishna consciousness. This has a reason. Krishna does not so easily give his mercy. He says, first surrender fully, then you get the mercy. However, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just gives Krishna consciousness. And here comes now a secret. He especially is inclined to give if someone just takes shelter at the lotus feet of Nityananda. He who takes shelter at Nitai and just chants the name Nitai, he will get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very, very easily. And now, when Lord Nityananda hears that someone just chants Gauranga or Gaura Gaura, he becomes also very pleased and gives his mercy very easily. Nitai Gaur. Prabhupada has therefore installed in many temples the deities of Nityananda and Gauranga. When he was in Honolulu, Honolulu, I don't know how to say this, it's in Hawaii. And he said that if it was up to me, I would not have installed Radha Krishna deities. He said this after a wonderful kirtan before the Panchatattva mantra, Panchatattva deities. You know, the kirtan was so blissful and so ecstatic. And Srila Prabhupada, he actually said he would have liked to just install Nityananda and Gauranga, Gaunitai. Because Gaunitai do not accept any offense on the part of the conditioned soul. Therefore, they are very merciful, and their land is the Navadvip Dham. So, You can only reach Krishna after many lifetimes of becoming very qualified. But if you have the mercy of Goni Thai, which are very, very easy to attain, you can immediately here, he says, Goni Thai have given the process to qualify for Vrajaras, for this original taste or mellow in the service of the Lord according to your original position. Even the initial presence of offenses does not bar one from quickly attaining the goal of prema. If one lives in Navadvip and takes shelter of the holy name, his offenses will be destroyed and the qualification for the ras will appear. Love of Krishna will soon shine within his heart and topics of Radha and Krishna will prevail. In this way, by achieving Gauranga's mercy, the living entity attains Brindavan, the holy abode of Radha and Krishna's nectarian pastimes. So, Lord Nityananda says, this is a very confidential subject. He says to Jiva Goswami, please don't talk to everyone about it. It's like a secret. You have heard now a secret. You know, when you go to on the streets of Heidelberg, don't talk immediately about it to everyone. It's actually a very, very great a boon. I know our Jayaprataka Maharaj, he is so ecstatic about because of this. Have you noticed? Yes, Tamaha Krishna, he is a disciple of Jayaprataka Maharaj. He will be able to inform all of you about Jayaprataka Maharaj's transcendental ecstatic state when he thinks Gauranga and Nityananda. So and he walks through the holy land and knows every stone in the holy dham. Because he has taken shelter, this is known in our movement, fully under the lotus feet of Goni Thai. This is a very nice thing that will qualify us for the highest stages of Krishna consciousness. Actually, there is no difference between Navadvip and Vrindavan, but it's only through Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's and Nityananda's mercy that one can actually obtain Vrindavan, and not go to Vrindavan and just stay, so to say, on the outside, be in Vrindavan and not be in Vrindavan. This is what one says sometimes. So by the mercy of Chaitanya and Nityananda, one can overcome this state and enter also Vrindavan Dham. So, Hare Krishna, I want to end here. Thank you very much. Do you have any questions? Wie man von der einen Ebene zur anderen kommt. One devotee does his service out of duty, another acts for the pleasure of his spiritual master. This is very nice. How do you come from one platform to the next? Well, that's the whole subject of our Krishna conscious life. If we do things out of duty, it is very difficult, isn't it? To just do some service out of duty, how difficult it is, especially Sankirtan. If you just do Sankirtan because you must go out of Sankirtan, it's very difficult. But if you like to go, you love to go, it's very easy. So, that's loving to do something is possible if you begin to make advancement in Krishna consciousness and you actually become more Krishna conscious, then you will see, oh my dear Lord, I'm doing this just for you. And one is very happy. Such a devotee is so determined that he doesn't know any obstacles. They're not there. He can overcome any type of obstacles. Imagine. Obstacles, in fact, become his pleasure. The example has been given of Madhavendra Puri, who was carrying for his deity this huge amount of sandalwood on his back and camphor. It was so heavy, I believe 40 pounds or 40 kg, I forgot. It was very heavy. Imagine like carrying Jones around, you know. The well-fed Bhakta Jones. That is very heavy. So Madhavendra Puri had to also pass through many heavy Muslim tall people and areas where robbers and gangsters were. But he was not discouraged. Imagine. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings in the song, obstacles taken on in your service are my joy. The devotee is like this if he is surrendered to the Lord. There's a very nice slogan which I want to tell to you. I want to write this in a poem, so now it's still in gross form in the Grubski Telo, in the gross body. It is going like this. Obstacles are when you lose sight of the goal. How do you like this? This now we have to put into a poem. This is just the idea is there. This is really a fact. If you lose sight of becoming Krishna conscious and becoming Krishna's servant, your life can turn into a life full of obstacles. But if you always remember Krishna Kundalata and never forget him, then there are no obstacles for you. You will do everything out of affection and of with great joy. And it will come. Don't doubt. One just has to continue with the process of Krishna consciousness in a balanced way. The balance is, and I feel many devotees in their lives have not found the balance. The balance is, must be there between the chanting and reading and all these other things a devotee does in order to absorb himself in Krishna and service to Krishna. It must be balanced. Whenever this balance is not good, it is some problem comes. Just like in a diseased body. The balance is not proper and then all of a sudden so much mucus appears. Like a whole bathroom or a whole bathing tub of mucus could just go and it doesn't end so much mucus. This is in the balance when the body has become out of balance. So in the devotee's life also he gets a little problems when the balance is not there between service and things which directly make him remember Krishna, like chanting and reading primarily Shravanam and Kirtanam and also Remembranam, Smaranam. So it will come, we just have to somehow establish the balance in our life. Just if you want to become healthy, then the kapha element and the vitta and the what is it? The pitta elements. They must be all balanced and then no problem. No mucus. Okay, so I think we have now ended our class. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Goni Tai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.